Hello?
Hey, Mark.
Oh, hi, Sue.
What are you up to?
Oh, not much.
Hey, do you have time for a quick question?
Sure.
Well, as you probably guessed, it's a God question. Or actually, it's more of a religion question.
Okay. Does it involve Karen?
Yes, it does. How did you know?
Just a lucky guess.
Well, do you remember the last time we talked? I said I kind of thought Karen was trying to convert me.
Yep.
Well, I was right.
What happened?
Well, we're eating lunch together, and after a little chit-chat, she asked if she could ask me something. You know, what choice do you have when somebody says that to you? So I said, sure. She went on to say that her church was going to begin a new set of member classes, and she was thinking I might be interested.
What did you say?
Well, it was really weird. I wanted to say, heck no, are you crazy? But I didn't want to hurt her feelings, you know, so I stalled for time by asking more questions for details.
What did she say?
Well, she started by saying that she took the classes years ago and how helpful it was for her. She said it was a series of 6 weeks of classes that met twice a week. She said they were to teach you all about the Bible and the doctrine and how the church works and all that stuff. Different pastors from different parts of the church took care of different aspects of the classes. And there would be readings for each class. And then by the end, I would know everything I need to know about being a member of her church. Then after I learned all that, I could decide if I wanted to join or not.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It sounded more like signing up for a community college class than joining a church. Did you know you have to take a new member classes, or did you have to take new member classes when you joined your church?
Yeah, but it wasn't anything like that.
Did you learn everything you needed to know to become a member of the church?
Well, as I recall, it was more about those of us who were joining, getting to know one another and the pastor better. There was some time for questions and answers, but that wasn't really the primary focus.
So what do you think all these classes at Karen's church are really about?
Well, I'm not sure. It sounds like they put a high value on their members knowing a lot about their church and their beliefs before they join.
I agree. But why does that bother me so much? I mean, it would make sense that you would want to know about an organization before you became a member. But Karen made it sound like you would almost have to pass a test before you could join.
Unfortunately, that sounds kind of familiar now that I stop and think about it.
Ooh, what do you mean? I thought you said your new member classes weren't like that.
It wasn't my new member classes. When you mentioned tests, it made me think back to confirmation. Did you go to confirmation back when you were going to church?
Ooh, I don't think so. Do you mean Sunday school?
Oh no, Sunday school was fun. If you went to confirmation, you'd remember. Confirmation classes were on Wednesday nights. They weren't any crafts or games. It was just pure learning. We had to memorize stuff and take tests.
Oh, obviously I got out just at the right time.
Yes, you did. And if you think that's bad, I remember my mom telling me about when she confirmed. She had to stand up in front of the whole congregation on Sunday morning and answer questions and recite all the stuff they had memorized.
Wow. What's that all about?
I don't know. I really haven't thought about it.
My first thought is that it's all about conformity of thought. Everyone has to believe in the same thing. That's how they control you, you know.
Well, there's probably some of that, but isn't there something good about knowing and understanding the things that are important to you? It's important for me to keep learning about my faith.
Yeah, but it's really not the same thing. It's because your faith is important to you that you want to learn about it, right? So your faith led you to want to learn more, not the other way around. I think that's what's bothering me about these classes at Karen's church. I'm not sure that faith in God is that important to me. I'm not even sure what having faith in God means or even looks like. So why would I want to learn about it? It would be like, you know, learning how to bake a chocolate souffle before you even saw one or tasted one.
A chocolate souffle? Oh, where'd that one come from?
Well, I binged watched a little cooking class last night on TV, and now I'm really inspired to make that chocolate souffle. But that's my point. I never wanted to learn to make a chocolate souffle until I saw that darn show. Now, everyone said how delicious and decadent they were, and now I really want to learn how to make one for myself.
You're going to make the chocolate souffle for yourself? You're not going to share it with your good buddy Mark, who answers all of your God questions.
Maybe. But do you get the point I'm making? If Karen told me to learn to make a chocolate souffle before I even watched that show, I would have said no. I don't have any interest in making a chocolate souffle. And that's how I feel about these new member classes. Thanks to these talks we're having, I don't feel nearly as negative toward the church and God as I used to, so thanks for that. But I'm still not convinced it's for me, and I don't think taking a bunch of church classes is going to help me decide.
What do you think might help you decide?
Oh, so now you're trying to convert me?
Not necessarily. I'm just curious. If I made you a chocolate souffle, would you come to church with me?
Gee, now you're resorting to bribery? It might do it, though.
Well, I'll brush up on my baking skills.
Well, call me when that souffle is ready.
Will do. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
So, continuing on in our sermon series, our question for today is, how do people come to faith? How do people come to faith? And my answer to that very big question is, I have no idea. None whatsoever. For me, I don't even remember coming to faith. I was raised in faith. My family raised me that way, and I grew up knowing God's unconditional love through my parents and my grandparents and my church family. So it's really all I've ever known. So how do other people come to faith? Maybe you think, as a pastor, I should know the answer to that question. But I really don't. I have no idea. And I have to admit, I don't really spend a lot of time thinking about it. I generally think of that as God's business. As a Christian, I'm called to love God and to love neighbor in all that I do and how I act and how I am in the world. And as a pastor, I'm called to proclaim the gospel, the good news of God's love, and to give communion and baptize people. And I believe that in all of those things, God uses all of that to do all sorts of amazing work and maybe even bring people to faith. Who knows? But I generally focus on my part and let God do the rest, which is not at all helpful in answering this morning's question. But luckily, our scripture reading for today might be a little more helpful and might give us some clues, because our readings for today are two very interesting examples of coming to faith, and they're both very different from one another, and they're both very different from my experience. Our first reading is this wonderful story of Naaman. Naaman was a powerful man whose pride was wounded when the prophet Elisha didn't come out to meet him, didn't make a big fuss over him, a big fanfare, or do some impressive ritual to heal him, but instead just sent out a servant to say, "Go wash in the river." Luckily, Naaman was not too proud to listen to his servant's advice, and so eventually he does just that. He goes and he washes in the river, and he's healed. Then, after experiencing that healing, Naaman comes back to see Elisha and confesses his belief in God. The God that he had previously referred to as your God, he now refers to as the only God. So in this story, it's Naaman's experience alone experiencing God through his healing that leads to his faith. Naaman had no understanding of what was going on. He thought the prophet's instructions were ridiculous. And even after his healing, when he professes his faith, he still doesn't understand. His theology is simplistic and a little off base. We don't hear it in this little reading, but right after this, he goes and he packs up a bunch of dirt to take home with him because he thinks he needs to be on the soil of Israel to worship the God of Israel. But despite that, Elisha doesn't come down on him, doesn't condemn him, doesn't even correct him. Naaman is just accepted as he is and sent off in peace. Later, Jesus will point to Naaman as an example of a Gentile coming to faith. So there's one example of someone coming to faith. Then in our gospel reading, if you can call it that, our gospel verse, we get the call of Matthew, which is very simply Jesus saying, "Follow me." What jumps out at me about that simple call story is two things. First of all, Matthew is a tax collector, which means that he's looked down upon, he's despised, he's viewed as ceremonially unclean. He is a sinner in the eyes of religious folk. And yet all Jesus asks of him is to follow. He doesn't ask him to stop being a tax collector or to brush up on his Deuteronomic law to get his life in line. Jesus simply says, "Follow me." So from this story, it would seem that Matthew really knew nothing going in. He didn't have all the answers or have his theological ducks in a row. So how did he come to faith? Actually, I don't think we get to see how Matthew comes to faith in this one verse. The call that Jesus gave him, the call to follow, was an invitation to come and see. The real question is, why did Matthew continue to follow Jesus day after day for the entirety of Jesus' ministry and beyond? Somewhere in there, he must have come to faith. This invitation to follow, to come and see, was an invitation to experience firsthand what Jesus was doing, and to become part of Jesus' family of misfits, his followers. It was in following that Matthew experienced something that he wanted to be a part of, and he spent the rest of his life sharing that with others. So, two very different stories of coming to faith. And both, like I said, very different from my story. So in the context of our Changing the Story series, what I learned from these two examples, what I heard in these stories, was that God's love for us is not dependent on our understanding or even our believing. God's love for us is there from the start. No matter what. And also, that God comes to us, comes to meet us, and be with us, and be active in our lives, regardless of our belief, regardless of whether or not we have faith. And I also heard the good news that God calls to us. Calls us into life and into relationship, even if we have no idea what that even is. God's love for us, God's presence and activity in our life, God's desire to be in relationship with us, none of that is dependent on our knowledge or our understanding. None of that is dependent on right belief. But I want to be clear. This is not anti-knowledge or anti-learning. I spent 8 years of higher education studying theology and scripture, and it definitely strengthened my faith. And I believe that faith for all of us is a lifelong learning process. What the change of story is here is recognizing that knowledge and understanding of theology or doctrine, none of those are prerequisites to faith or to belonging. To be part of this family, you don't have to have any of that coming in. For most people, I would say, those things come later. And that's not to say that some people aren't brought to faith through knowledge and learning. I mean, God works in so many ways, through so many avenues, to reach each of us in our own unique way. Again, it's simply to say that it's not a requirement. There's no test to pass in order to be included in Christ's family. Wherever we are in our learning journey, we are each invited to follow, to come and see. And when we do, when we experience that unconditional, life-changing love that God has for us, we're invited to keep following, to continue on as part of Christ's family. And we're invited to share that love with others so that they might experience and come to know how very much they are loved. Thanks be to God. Amen.